What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
And me? That makes two voiceover girls.
Oh, okay. What do you get when you have two voiceover girls separated by one pond and two perspectives?
Oh, I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen to Romy and Jessica as they share their journey into the voiceover industry. Hi, it's Romy Santosh. Welcome to Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
Hi, I'm Jessica Matheson. Today's episode, we're going to be speaking about different genres in voiceover. Let's get started.
What different genres are there in voiceover?
There are so many genres of voiceover out there and subgenres that I can't give a complete list. It would take forever. Could be commercials. There could be telephone systems. You know, if you're interacting with a telephone system, you're listening to someone who's recorded prompts. There could be audiobooks or e-learning, and there could be how-to videos or trailers for movies or podcasts or toys and games, video games, and just to name a few. And there are many, many more. Every list you find will have some that are similar, but you'll find all kinds of different stuff depending on the list that you actually look over. Romy, what genres of voiceover do you work in?
Well, I have a few different genres that I work in. I've started in corporate, so I've done some voiceover for corporate explainer videos. I've also done quite a few voiceovers for medical e-learning, and that's an area that I'm certainly interested in. And I've also done quite a lot of voiceover for voicemail messages for different companies and IVR messages. Mm-hmm. So those are the key ones that I've been involved with. What about yourself?
Right now, I am mostly in e-learning. I'm working on an app for English language e-learning for students in China and Korea. And then I am working on some real estate modules for people who are getting licensed and certified in real estate in different states. So that's like the big projects I'm working on right now. I have worked pretty heavily in audiobooks. And then I've done a little bit of commercial, a little bit of animation, a little bit of IVR, but those are definitely areas that I want to get more work in.
Well, that sounds really good. And are you working in the same genres that you started in?
Yes, just well, with one of them anyway, because I started in audiobooks and I still do audiobooks, although I'm not doing as many audiobooks as I was before because I've gotten into the e-learning realm. And then, of course, I'm trying to pick up commercials and animation whenever I can because those are fun and they pay well. How about you? Are you still working in the same genres as you were before?
I seem to be drifting, but organically. So it just depends on what work comes my way. I started off with a lot of IVR and voicemail work coming through, and now it's drifting. Then I started having quite a lot of medical e-learning projects, and now I seem to be in e-learning, like you, doing some English e-learning work.
Very nice.
I am now pushing in certain directions. I'm quite interested in pushing more corporate stuff. And I'm looking to possibly start narration work as well.
We do.
So, yeah, just going to start to explore that a little bit more. So I'll be actively looking at those genres rather than just letting things happen.
That sounds about
organically,
like me.
If you knew it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I started out auditioning just for audiobooks and just doing audiobooks. And then I moved into the other genres. And then I find myself auditioning for different things where I feel like I will do okay. And so, of course, I'm getting more work in those areas. And then I'm kind of like you, where I'm like, I really, really would love to be able to be the voice of some documentary or something like that, that I see on TV. So I'm definitely looking at making a demo for that. And then marketing for that, starting to get in touch with production companies and, you know, whoever I need to contact to see if I can do some of that work. Cause that sounds awesome. What is your favorite genre, Romy, and why?
I really do love the medical side of things. Yeah, so I've enjoyed the medical e-learning and narration work simply because it's quite challenging. I've had to spend time doing research when I've had a project. For example, when certain words, I've had to check the pronunciation. So I've actually gone and looked at various different pronunciation websites. And it's interesting, one of the projects, there was one particular word, I would have said melanocytes. when I read it, but it can also be pronounced melanocytes, which is slightly different, just the vowels are slightly different. And I wasn't aware of this, but when I did the research, I found that one was American and the other was British. And I hadn't been, I wasn't aware. What I did was, so I did the British pronunciation, obviously, because I'm a British voiceover artist. So I assumed that that was the right thing to do. And the company is also British. But when I sent the recording back, he actually picked it up and said, oh, I think you've mispronounced it. So I then went through the research that I had done just to say, this is my findings and I've done the British pronunciation for this particular word. And they were really happy with that because it just kind of showed that I'd gone to the trouble of being clear about it, you know, what the pronunciation was, even though it's just a small thing, you know, melanocytes and melanocytes. But, you know, just things like that make a huge difference. And I think for me, probably am slightly perfectionist. So I'd like to get things right. So, and I enjoyed that. I think that for me was a challenge. It took a couple of hours to look up everything, but I enjoyed it. It was that challenge that I liked. So I just like to work hard, I guess, earn my money.
Right. And learn. And learn. Crazy. I think part of it too is learning, where it's like you want to get it right. You want to make sure that you can sort of retain that if you get that word again.
And then for future, I know that there's all these different websites and I'm going to be much more aware possibilities of different pronunciations for a word. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just prepared me for future projects.
Yeah. And then sometimes, that's what I've noticed as well. Like when I'm going through, whether it be audiobooks or e-learning, I'm sometimes finding words that I haven't been sent a maybe I've been sent a pronunciation guide, but that one's not included for whatever reason. And you kind of have to qualify your websites, like which one's good. Like Forvo is great. And Forvo is really nice because it also includes not just one way to pronounce it, but it has tabs and it'll say, this is English, this is Spanish, this is whatever regions they have gotten different pronunciations from, you can actually listen to them. So if you're, you know, working on something, say for a French company, and it needs more of a French pronunciation, even if it is in English, you could figure out how the French would pronounce it so that you can make sure that you do it that way. There's some things, though, that I've gotten where I try to look up the word and it says, oops, it looks like you have a word we don't have listed yet. Care to add your own two cents or, you know, something like that. I'm like, no, if I'm looking it up, I can't tell you how to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was funny you mentioned about the pronunciation and how you were able to explain like how that happened. And so they accepted it. And so I had actually kind of the opposite thing happen. So I'm working on a real estate module. And in this real estate module, they talk about banking regulations. And I used to work in banking for like 10 years. And so one of the regulations is HMDA. But when I was in the banking world, we called it HMDA, right? And it's weird because some of the acronyms, they either spell them out or they'll just make them into a word. And so I was like, oh, this one, HMDA, I know this one, you know, so I pronounced it through the entire chapter as HMDA. Should have asked, didn't. And then they ran the edits through Positron. And so the Positron report comes back and it's just pages long. And I'm like, no, because I had to go through and replace every HMDA with HMDA. So, pro tip, guys, make sure that if you're not sure about a pronunciation, that you ask the person that you are working for, or you will spend a lot of time in editing.
Yeah. That's really annoying when you have to do that. Yes. You think, oh, I was just trying to save time and be quick and make
sense. I know. I thought I knew. I was so confident. It's like, what you think you know, you do not.
But I do enjoy that. I'd love to do some commercial work. I think that would be really good fun because of the fun of doing commercials. They're short, they're sharp, and you get the opportunity to do different variations, just have fun with the lines. So there's lots of opportunity to just try the different things out. Yeah. And the other area that I'd really like to get into is children's narration. I think that would be, really be fun. And I haven't done that. I don't have a specific background or experience in that, but I think that would just be an area that I'd love to explore. And I think it would take me out of my comfort zone. It would give me the opportunity to explore how far I can go with my voice, doing something fun and young. And
yeah, that's true. A lot of e-learning with kid stuff, you know, you've got characters.
Yes.
And not necessarily just an adult narrator. Yeah. Mm. Very cool.
What about yourself? Is there any areas that you'd like to really have a go at that you haven't yet?
Well, that I haven't. Well, narration, like as in documentary or that sort of thing. I would love to be able to do some of that. as far as things that I'm already working on, I definitely want to dive deeper into commercials. I like the idea of something short and sweet and not spending hours in the booth on one project. And I also like the idea of animation. I am just sort of naturally silly and dorky and funny and trying to make people laugh. And so I feel like I could probably do something with animation, and it would just be fun and creative and that sort of thing. So I definitely want to bring out my inner dorkiness and put it out into the world in the form of animation.
Brilliant. So I hope people are listening out there and will send opportunities.
Hire me.
Now.
Shameless plug. Yeah, hire me to do your animation.
Yeah.
Like every other like every other VO, you know, or wannabe VO says, it's like, I do voices. Well, that's awesome. There's more to it.
So when you actually started, I know we've discussed this before, but just to come back to it, were there any genres of voiceover that you had no idea existed?
Yes. Probably the one that kind of surprised me the most was the ideas of the Siri and the Alexa and things like that, because I assumed that they were some sort of AI, and they are a little bit, because they take the voice actor's voice, they put all of those things into an algorithm, and then it generates, you know, a strung together sentence or whatever it is. But I just didn't realize that the initial part of that was a voice actor. I thought it was just completely computer generated somehow. And so that was kind of surprising to learn. Yeah, that's just some of the things that you just interact with that you just don't even realize are voiceover.
Absolutely.
And of course, you know, now I'm drawing a blank and I can't think of what they are naturally. How about you? What kinds of things surprised you?
The one that I thought was really cute was the voiceover for toys, when you have a teddy bear and you squeeze it and a little voice comes out. And, you know, of course, it is a voiceover. I wouldn't have thought about it, to be honest. I would have connected that that's somebody who's recorded a voice and it's been
somebody
recorded in the teddy bear
point.
Or whatever. Yeah, yep. Exactly. What else? And I suppose I probably don't think of Voice of God projects, you know, where you're doing live voiceover. Mm-hmm. To me, that's, you're an announcer, not a voiceover artist, because I tend to think of voiceover as something that you record and then it gets played.
Oh, yeah.
To me, there's a difference. But yeah, that's still counted in the realms of voiceover, the voice of God.
Yep, I would goddess. Agree. that did kind of surprise me as well, because I'm like you, where I thought that was more of like the announcer or the MC or whatever.
Yes, the master of ceremonies.
Yeah. And so, yeah, really watching like award shows or whatever on TV, you've got the host who's speaking to the audience and the camera, but then you have that person who's announcing the names of the nominees and all of that stuff. And that person is the voice or the voice of God.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting to me as well.
Mm.
Actually, I took a breakout group at One Voice, you know, how the conference was remote last year and over Zoom and or all of that good stuff. Melissa Disney was teaching it, and she does a lot of voice of God work. And it was just interesting. I guess in my mind, I'm thinking of like the host of the show and the gowns and the tuxedos and the whole like that, and thinking this person that you hear in the background probably is having the same experience. And she's talking about how you're kind of shoved in a little area and you have like some water and it's hot. You can't really drink that water, because when are you going to go to the bathroom? And invariably, whenever you go to the bathroom is when something happens, and all of a sudden, you know, the producers of the show while it's going on are like, help, we need filler. We need filler. And so she's the one that's adding the filler. And she's like, that always happens when I have to go to the bathroom.
Of course.
You
absolutely.
Know? So, I mean, I'm thinking about Voice of God and it sounds kind of cool and interesting, but like, I'm like, oh man, I'm well hydrated. I don't think I do so well.
It's stressful. I think you have to have some people would love it, I guess, because you're on your toes and there is a sort of excitement and a buzz about being live. That's just amazing, isn't it? So much variety and so much choice. Yeah. And some people obviously do specialize and have their niche areas. And so, yeah, lots of opportunity, I guess.
Absolutely.
Depending
Tons
on what works for you and how you want to work your voice and and your training.
Yeah, definitely. Lots.
And I think that's what makes voiceover so exciting.
Yes, it is. It's like, what am I going to do today? Yep, I agree. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. If you like what you hear, make sure that you like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Also, we have a Facebook group that you can join if you want to interact with us and other voiceovers across the world. That's facebook.com/groups/voiceovergirlsacrossthepond. And don't forget to share with your friends, family, colleagues, heck, even a complete stranger.
So until the next episode, take care and goodbye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us for the VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Jessica, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.